I'm Bruce Celery. This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple. On today's show, we're going to go through some of our very best interviews about getting out of debt. We're going to start with the diagnosis here. Is debt really a serious problem for you? Credit Canada's Gersh Singh will kick off the show about debt, looking at the warning signs and when you might need to seek help. Then, how do you actually go out and do this? How do you go and get out of debt? There are two ways that we're going to focus on. Stacey Yanchuk-Olecksky is the CEO of Credit Counseling Canada. She's going to talk about the difference between a debt consolidation program and a consumer proposal, and just give you some food for thought on which might be better for you. And many people go to the casino, or they take part in sports betting for fun. They have a good time doing it. They try and test their luck. But how do you know if it has become a real problem for you and whether it's actually impacting you financially? Mike Bergeron is a counselor at Credit Canada, and he will be here to talk about some of the warning signs and the steps you can take to get yourself out of gambling debt. Plus, debt and the dinner table. Navigating these conversations with family can be really, really difficult, super important, but hard. How do you get started? Leslie Ann Skorky is a financial expert. She is the founder of MeVest. She's going to be here with some tips. This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by Credit Canada, the first and longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency in the country. Let's get started. If you are carrying a level of debt that does not make you happy, that does not enable you to sleep at night, it may be time for you to begin the process of finding ways to get out of it. But that's a tall order. It is not an easy task. So we are going to talk today about some warning signs that you might notice, that if you were aware of would be helpful, and what to do if you do notice some of those warning signs. Gersh Singh is with Credit Canada. She joins us now to talk about some of those warning signs and what to do if you do know that now's the time to get some help. Hello there, Gersh.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Warning signs. This is, you've been in this area a long time. When people call Credit Canada and you ask them some questions, there are some common things that they would notice if they looked. First warning sign is transferring balances. Tell us more about that.
So using one credit card loan or loan payment to make another payment is what you're talking about when you say that.
Yeah.
It's an early warning sign. And what it means is you're just moving money around. There's no extra money coming in to be able to keep up with the debt load that you have. So if you're using one form of credit to pay another, it is a sign of trouble ahead, because there's an end to that dynamic. And that'll happen when those items get maxed out. Yeah.
Warning sign number two, unable to pay monthly minimums. That makes tons of sense. The third one is repeatedly seeking credit increases. So this is an issue. This can be a hit to your credit score.
That's exactly it. And it makes for a cycle. Seeking increases to credit limits because you're almost maxed out is a sign that you are beginning to struggle to keep up with your obligations, but the seeking of credit is just your denial in action. So you're putting yourself in a feedback loop, seeking more credits, going to negatively impact your credit score, and it's not the solution to the problem.
And it hits your credit score in two ways, because, it can hit in two ways. If you don't have a lot of room, your utilization's already probably pretty high, and the bureaus do not like what is called a hard inquiry. What's the difference between a soft inquiry and a hard inquiry?
So a hard inquiry implies that you are seeking credit. If you have enough hard inquiries on your credit report, it does indicate that you are in a situation where you are repeatedly applying for credit because you need it. And a soft inquiry would describe one where there is no impact on the credit score. It doesn't indicate that you are seeking credit. A soft inquiry would be an example of a soft inquiry, would be applying for an apartment building or having a new employer check your credit, which is custom nowadays in certain industries. Mm-hmm. So the key to those differences is that you are not seeking credit. That's the that's the negative impact to your credit score, definitely.
The fourth warning sign that you talk about, which I think is like the big woo, is getting calls from debt collectors. For those who have not been on the receiving end of those calls, what questions are asked? What's the tone of those calls? What are your rights when it comes to those calls? Give us a flavor.
So if you're getting collection calls, it means it's been months since you've made a payment. So you're pretty far in at this point. Collectors, they can be very unfriendly individuals, and they're doing their job to collect on the debts. But it may lead to you not answering the phone. And the problem there is that you and your collectors can't come to an agreement. So what the real issue is that your collector is likely going to request payments to be made at an amount that you're unable to afford, because at this point you are already so far behind. And there's just no recovering how far behind you are given their demands and what your current situation is. So that's what it tells us when an individual comes to Credit Canada and they're receiving collection calls. So at that point, you might need some intervention in order for you to be able to come to an agreement with your collectors.
We're going to talk intervention in a second. Let me just recap here. Warning signs are transferring balances from one source of debt to another, being unable to pay monthly minimums, repeatedly seeking credit increases, and getting calls from debt collectors. If any of those four are a fit for you, or you're just not feeling like you can sleep at night, it is the time. Now is the time to take action. Now, of course, this program is sponsored by Credit Canada. You and I both work at Credit Canada. Talk about credit counseling. So someone picks up the phone, they have an appointment with a credit counselor. How does that unfold?
So speaking with a credit counselor is free of charge. One of our tenets for credit counseling is it's non-judgmental. You're not ever too early or too late to seek assistance. What a credit counselor will do for you is take a look at your debts, your monthly income, your monthly expenses, your short and long-term financial goals, and they'll let you know of the best ways for you to handle your debts. They may be able to assist to intervene if you're in a collection situation and help to come to an agreement via something called a debt consolidation program. They can also refer you to the right experts if there's a solution that you're needing that a credit counselor can't assist with, or any other supports that you might need. So a credit counselor is a good place to start if you find yourself experiencing any of the warning signs that we talked about.
Yeah. You referenced a couple of the solutions. So debt consolidation program is one that's done by a nonprofit credit counselor, not just Credit Canada, but other nonprofit credit counselors in this country. A referral on a consumer proposal or a bankruptcy filing. What advice would, so category number three is, what advice can a credit counselor offer on debt consolidation loans? Because that can be a solution. If you've got a reasonable credit rating, you may be able to bring some debts together at a lower rate with a monthly payment. How can a credit counselor help find that kind of an arrangement?
So a credit counselor can assist you to figure out how much of a payment you'll be able to afford and assist you in approaching lenders if that's a solution that's available to you, being a debt consolidation loan. And just let you know exactly what you would be looking at by taking that route and seeking a loan. And they'll also let you know if there are options outside of applying for that loan, because just like we said, applying for different credit products could impact your credit rating. They can also let you know the details if a debt consolidation program is available to you. So they can help you in both streams. And the core of what they're looking for when they're giving advice as to what you should be applying for amount-wise is how much you can reasonably afford. So that's how a credit counselor can assist. A credit counselor could be a great ally, regardless of what your options are when it comes to a debt consolidation loan or a debt consolidation program.
The average consumer sees all these ads, you know, on a bus, on the back of a bus, on Facebook, and there's just so many services out there offering to help you get out of debt. We've talked about the licensed insolvency trustees, and there are some extraordinary humans working in that field. We've talked about the nonprofit credit counselors. There's some extraordinary humans working in that field. And then there's a whole bunch of unregulated, like, what exactly do they do? How does that exactly work? What advice would you have for people who are getting into the Google machine such that they do a search that connects them with a service provider that is going to be able to help?
I think if you're looking outside of credit counselors or trustees, licensed insolvency trustees, one good thing to look for is an accreditation of some sort from a national association. So for instance, with a credit counselor at Credit Canada, our agency is accredited by a national association called Credit Counseling Canada. So you want to look at their credentials. You want to look at the credibility of those credentials by seeking out where they're accredited. Another thing that you can do is to read customer reviews. Mm. So if there are scenarios where there are solutions being given by a certain agent or professional that haven't worked for individuals, the most telling sign would be the customer reviews. So I think that's also something to look at. And you also want to ensure, I understand that there's a lot of for-profit advice out there, but one thing that you want to ensure is that there is some accountability for the solutions that they provide. So you want to make sure that there's a regulatory body involved somehow, and that can be a lot to look for when you're seeking help from a debt professional. Yeah. But again, there's plenty of resources on our website that can help to illuminate any questions that you might have in regards to professionals that you're coming across.
Really helpful stuff. Gersh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. My pleasure.
Gersh Singh is with Credit Canada, Canada's oldest and longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency in the country.
Hi, it's me, your dad. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.
Coming up next on Moolala, more of our best of interviews about getting out of debt. First, Stacey Yanchuk-Olecki is the CEO of Credit Counseling Canada. She's going to talk about the difference between a debt consolidation program and a consumer proposal. And later, how to talk about debt, how to talk about a really tough subject with your family. Personal finance expert and founder of MeVest, Leslie Ann Scorgi, will be here. And stay up to date with all things Moolala by signing up for our newsletter. It's got all the latest stuff that we talk about on this show, in case you've missed an episode, but also around the media landscape, CBC Radio, Cityline, BNN Bloomberg, blah, blah, blah. To sign up for the newsletter, you just go to moolala.ca, type in your email address, and you'll get that newsletter about once a month. We will never do anything else with your email address other than sending that letter.
You're listening to Moolala, Money Made Simple, with Bruce Ellery on Canada Talks, SiriusXM 167.
Welcome back. Moolala, Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit, as I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. So maybe you have debt, maybe you have a lot of debt, and maybe you need more help than just some, you know, budgeting tips and a kind word. There are a couple of interventions that you may want to consider, and we're going to talk about two of them today. One is something called a debt consolidation program through a nonprofit credit counselor. And the second is a consumer proposal through a licensed insolvency trustee. For more on how each of these work and which might be a better fit for you based on your circumstances, we're speaking to Stacey Yanchuk-Aletsi. She is the CEO of Credit Counseling Canada, which is the association that represents nonprofit credit counselors in Canada. She joins us from Agassiz, British Columbia. Did I say that right, Stacey? Agassiz?
You didn't. It's Agassiz, BC, but that's okay. We'll go with it.
That's much, I was just going to say Vancouver area, but that's, I love that. It's so good. What is a debt consolidation program? How do you define that?
Sure. What a debt consolidation program, Bruce, is, it's for about 20% of consumers. So it's not the right solution for everybody. But what it is it consolidates debt into a reasonable monthly payment. So let's just take, I'm going to use my middle name, Leanne, as an imaginary person. And so let's say Leanne has five different unsecured debts. And let's say she's just struggling, you know, maybe she's in collections with one or two, or maybe she's just making minimum payments and getting nowhere fast. What a nonprofit credit counseling agency can do is help pool her debts into what's called a debt consolidation program. So what happens is that agency will send proposals out to her creditors, and assuming that she can make a payment, you know, in her budget, then they will accept those proposals typically. And now Leanne just has to make one payment every month to that agency. And what that agency does, Bruce, on her behalf is they disperse those funds to her creditors. And in return, because she's actually paying 100% of her principal back, what they're going to do is they're going to give her a break on the interest. So most creditors will drop the interest down to zero. And even the high interest ones will drop it down to, you know, something a lot more reasonable. So Leanne, a consumer, can get out of debt in a reasonable amount of time with a debt consolidation program.
What then is a consumer proposal?
Mm-hmm. A consumer proposal is a legal solution. So this is done by a licensed insolvency trustee. And what it is a consumer, if they cannot afford to pay back 100% of the principal, then what they can do is work with a trustee to establish a consumer proposal. And this is where they will pay a portion of their debt back. So let's go back to Leanne. Instead of owing, let's say, $30,000, she would maybe owe $15,000. So she'd pay a portion of her debt back by making monthly payments, so that within 5 years, she would also become debt-free.
What are some of the circumstances that a credit counselor would look at to determine whether that DCP, the debt consolidation program, is a better fit for Leanne versus a consumer proposal?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, what I've always been excited about in the nonprofit credit counseling field is really our philosophy has been about helping consumers be as responsible as they financially can be. And so what that credit counselor does is look at her whole situation. And if she's able to afford a payment in her budget, and that's the key, Bruce, is that this is not about, you know, eligibility. She has to be able to afford it and still have a, you know, maintain a reasonable standard of living, then perhaps the debt consolidation program is the best thing. But the numbers will dictate that solution. And if she cannot pay that 100% back, then she may look at a consumer proposal.
Both of these paths have an impact on your credit score. Tell us about the impact that will be with you after you have completed either the consumer proposal or the debt consolidation program.
Sure. So let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, it's important to differentiate that in a DCP, a debt consolidation program, it's a voluntary program. So three folks, if you will, have to volunteer. So Leanne, the consumer, her creditors, as well as the nonprofit credit counseling agency. In a consumer proposal, it is not a voluntary program. It's actually a legal program. It's a legal solution. So, you know, what we're looking at is, you know, what fits best. And in terms of credit, they both will impact their credit ratings at 7 after successful completion. The DCP, the debt consolidation program, will come off after 2 years, but never stay longer than 6. And for consumer proposal, it'll be 3 years after successful completion. But there's also another difference that we have to note, Bruce, is that with the debt consolidation program, because it's voluntary, once it's come off the credit report, it's done. No one knows about it other than, you know, the agency and that consumer, Leanne. But with a consumer proposal, it actually remains on public records. So what that means is it comes off the credit report, but it'll stay on public records.
So that if an employer is looking at your credit score, they would be able to see that.
That's right. Or as I used to joke when I was teaching workshops, if I was, you know, doing my first, if I was dating, you know, I'd probably be on the Office of the Superintendent's bankruptcy website, you know, to see if my date has gone bankrupt before.
Oh, can you, anybody can look that up?
Anybody can look that up. I believe it's $8 now. They've gone back between free and $8, but I think you have to pay a little bit, but
right.
Yeah, it is a public record.
Both consumer proposals and bankruptcy filings. Interesting. Okay. Now, in both situations, you do not walk out of there with the same ability to use credit as you did before you signed off on one of these two programs or proposals. How do clients work around that? Credit cards are ubiquitous these days.
Sure they are. Well, there's a couple of ways, you know, and I think that we've gotten a little bit credit, you know, crazy, if you will, that we're so focused on credit scores and credit scores, not even our reports. What we need to know is that credit can go up and credit can go down. And so there are multiple ways to build credit without getting into high interest debt. So you can build credit, and whether that person's on a consumer proposal or a DCP, a debt consolidation program, they can build it with a cell phone contract in their name. They can also build it with a secured credit card. And then upon successful completion, they can also look at small, you know, unsecured credit cards to build credit. We don't need a ton of products to actually rebuild our credit. What we need is time and good behavior.
So with the DCP, you pay those debts back in full, admittedly at a much lower interest rate. With a consumer proposal, you don't pay those debts back in full. Who determines how many cents on the dollar you end up paying?
So it's a great question. So when a consumer, so let's go back to Leanne, when she meets with a licensed insolvency trustee, they'll look at their whole financial situation and propose to creditors what she should be paying. And that will be based on her budget, you know, her monthly expenses and her income, as well as her assets. And so a licensed insolvency trustee will send proposals out to those creditors and then they can vote on it.
Why would someone choose a DCP when they will pay less with a consumer proposal? So you flag two things, but there may be more. One is the public record. And the second one was the speed with which the credit report, that advantage of a year on the credit report. But why else?
You know, there are a few different reasons. And, you know, the work that I've done with consumers, you know, what I've always been really inspired by, Bruce, with Canadians is that we are a responsible lot. We like to take responsibility. And what the DCP allows a consumer to do is take full responsibility for their, you know, their challenges and repay that debt. And so Canadians like to do that. What they also do is they have access for, you know, up to 5 years they have access to a credit counselor and client services, as well as financial education. So it's a holistic approach to really supporting that consumer to not just pay off their debt, but live a debt-free life so that they don't have to keep coming back.
And obviously, given my day job, I am not objective on this, but I do want to give you the opportunity to make the point that nonprofit credit counselors are a great first call, because if a consumer proposal makes more sense, we're not making money. It is perfectly appropriate for a nonprofit credit counselor to make a referral to a client to do a consumer proposal with a licensed insolvency trustee.
You know what? Absolutely, Bruce. And I own my bias, you know, having worked in the industry and now that I work at the association, you know, I definitely do have a bias towards nonprofit credit counseling. But what I appreciate is that it's a free first call. So even if a DCP, a debt consolidation program, is not right for a consumer like Leanne, you know what? That credit counselor is going to find the right place for her. And that might be a consumer proposal. As you said, it's a free referral. And it's also a referral to a trusted licensed insolvency trustee, you know, who treats our clients with dignity and respect and, you know, behaves ethically and according to the bankruptcy standards.
You have been in this world a very, very long time. You have talked to a lot of clients over the years. Many, if not most of them, have an emotional hurdle to overcome for lots of different reasons. You know, some of it's shame, some of it's, you know, they feel like if they just try harder, there's a way to get out of it. What is the thing that you would say to those clients, and of which it's probably the majority, who are, they understand the math of it. They understand that this is a way for them mathematically to go to get to a better place, but they've got some sort of intangible block. What do you say to them?
You know, I think it's twofold. I think when it comes to shame, what I would remind people is that they're not alone. And we in Canada have associated net worth and self-worth, right, into one concept. If I'm good with my money, I'm a good person. And if I'm bad with my money, I'm a bad person. And those are fundamentally different concepts, right? You can be a good person and still not be great with money. Mm. So I always recommend people to just take a deep breath and remember you're not alone, and that a nonprofit credit counselor, you know, likely they've seen their own financial challenges in their own life, right? Because we're not immune to it. And they've seen a lot of other people, and they can come up with solutions that work for that person. So that's the first thing. In terms of I should just work harder, you know what? What I would ask people is, how long have you been working hard at this? Yeah. And what more do you think you can do? And maybe that's where you just need to reach out for a friendly face and a helping hand to look at your options, because a DCP may not be right for most people. That's okay. But you'll walk away with a plan, a budget, referrals, and resources. Not so bad for an hour's appointment.
Yeah. Stacy, thank you so much.
Always my pleasure, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
Stacy Yenchuk Alexi is the CEO of Credit Counseling Canada, and she joined us to talk about the differences between a debt consolidation program and a consumer proposal. Coming up later on The Best Of, we're going to look at more tips on how to talk about debt, in particular with your family. Leslie Ann Scorgi will be here on that subject. But first, how to know if you have a gambling problem that is leading to a problem with debt. Mike Bergeron is a credit counselor at Credit Canada. He's going to talk about the signs and what you can do about it if this is you or if this is someone you love. I'm also the money columnist for CBC Radio, and every Wednesday afternoon, we dig into a topic relevant to you, relevant to your financial life. So, you know, here we are on Sirius XM, but there we could be on CBC Radio too. How fun would that be?
You're listening to Moolah La, Money Made Simple, with Bruce Ellery on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167.
We're seeing more and more and more of these advertisements for sports betting these days. They're everywhere. They're like on billboards, they're online, they're everywhere. And this is on top of the fact that Canadians have been able to gamble in lots of different ways for a very, very long period of time. Right. For a lot of people, betting on sports, going to the casino, going onto their phone to do a little gambling, no big deal, fun, exciting, great. But how much gambling is too much gambling? And how do you know if you've actually developed an addiction that is really costing you financially? Mike Bergeron is a certified nonprofit credit counselor at Credit Canada. And this is a kind of call he receives a lot. So we're going to talk to him about gambling and debt in particular. He's in Windsor, Ontario today. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the kinds of calls that you receive for people who are starting to wake up to the fact that their gambling has become a problem for them.
Right. So on the Bruce, I'm finding the traditional call is when things got really out of hand. It's almost to the point where they're late on rent, arrears on their bills, very stressed, high level stress, nowhere to turn. Sometimes the debt is unknown to loved ones, family, and they have no one to really turn to. So it is a very challenging conversation to support them through it. But on the other side, there is those random calls that people are really proactive and they see that they haven't accumulated much debt, but they see they're dwindling their savings plans. And they want to get it resolved and get the support before it gets to that point. So it's not it's a small percentage, but it's nice to see that some people are being aware and being proactive to their challenge.
You've been working as a credit counselor for a long period of time. And back in the olden days, people had to like hoof it to a casino in order to gamble and in some cases to get themselves into trouble. Now there are many more ways in which they can find themselves in that. Is there a, I'm using air quotes here, a stereotypical person who finds themselves in this situation, or does it really cross age, income, you know, background, all that?
Yeah, I think I've been noticing a lot through the board, it, male, female, everything in between. I remember just not that many years ago, me, my brother, and my dad, we would go to the local corner store and we would bet on the local the Sunday football games, and it was amusing to have a little bit involved in the game. But today, like you're saying, with all the advertisements, I don't remember the last time I watched a sporting event where during the commercial breaks they weren't promoting these online betting sites. You can you can bet right at home on your local device, which could automatically cause some severe financial burdens if you don't set some really good perimeters. So it's a lot more aggressive, I'm noticing, in that sports betting field versus, like you were saying, Bruce, having to go to the casino to place that bet on that winning team. It's a lot easier now. So I can see a lot more people, younger people, unfortunately, getting into this addiction a little bit sooner than most.
With any behavior, there is a level of moderation in which it's like, not a big deal. You can have a glass of wine. That's very different than a couple of bottles of wine. How does someone who gambles know when it's too much?
Yeah, I think the majority of times when I'm speaking and doing my presentations or speaking to someone on the phone, I really try to get a good understanding to that question as well. And the majority of the time, it's when they don't know when to stop, they don't know when to leave, or they never really thought of safe gambling habits, like setting limitations on, you know what, after $50 we'll leave, something along those lines. So I find sometimes it's a little bit of that. Sometimes you can tell by the isolation, depression, the remorse they feel about what they got themselves into. Sometimes it could be just the fact of lying about how much they've lost. That's a traditional or a very common thing I'm hearing too. So those are probably the key ones that I'm hearing most often.
So the light bulb goes off, an individual realizes, okay, this is actually something that I have to get a handle on. Where do they start? How do they start to deal with, and I'm going to make the case that there is debt here. There isn't always. Some people can fund their gambling and it's not a situation where they have debt, but let's take the case that they do. Mm-hmm. How do you start to deal with gambling debt?
So I think the first thing is that acknowledgement that I have a problem. I've spoken to many people over my counseling career that seek support regarding the debt, like you mentioned, Bruce, and they never really dealt with the addiction. Therefore, acknowledging the addiction and seeking support about that is always step one. Regarding how to do that, believe it or not, I think our local PlaySmart or the provincial associations that oversee responsible gambling have done a lot of good initiatives to support. Obviously, Canadian Mental Health Association in your local province is a good stepping point to get maybe some self-exclusion contacts of how to go about doing that, or what kind of counseling is available, or support groups are available to support you with that type of situation.
Your job really lives in two worlds. You are head-oriented, you've got the math, you're looking at the numbers, and you're heart-oriented, because the human at the other end of the phone is suffering. They're dealing with really tough circumstances. You referenced that some people suffer alone. They don't tell a spouse or a family member. In fact, they may actively keep it a secret because of shame and guilt and all that stuff.
Right.
How do you recommend that people cross that threshold and have those tough conversations?
Yeah, I think there's a form of empathy that goes along with speaking to the individual who's going through that, understanding On a personal level, knowing loved ones that have gone through some very similar addictions and how it impacts them, how it impacts the family around them, and give them the tools to let them know that they're not alone through this journey, that specifically the counseling element, I know a lot of resources throughout the country that can support them, but provide them the awareness that we will get through this together. We'll go through a personalized financial plan. We're going to go through income expenses. We're going to go through assets. What is available to start working on getting those debts under control, and potentially even some options through insolvency or debt management through Credit Canada. Obviously, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we're helping people get out of debt and back into life. So we want to make sure that it's an all-round picture. It's just not one element. We're doing a whole transformation of their financial lifestyles, potentially.
Your conversation with clients is confidential. It's one-on-one, and there's some comfort in the fact that you're a stranger, because you're certainly not going to judge them. It's what you do professionally.
Right.
If they asked you, how do I talk to my spouse about this issue? Give me a sentence. How do I actually, what words fall out of my mouth in order to begin that conversation? What would you say?
Yeah, I think most of the time it's back to that acknowledgement that I've made a mistake. And right now I don't need judgment, I need support. And I think most times when, regardless of what you're going through, we're afraid of the response. We're not afraid of the situation. We're kind of aware we got ourselves into this scenario, but we're afraid of how others will perceive looking at them, and will they judge them, or how are they going to react? We're afraid of that type of response. So I just kind of say to make sure that you're open, you acknowledge that you've made a mistake, and you're asking for a little bit of understanding that you're seeking support, not just financially, but also with the addiction. And I think that could go a long way, specifically when it comes to loved ones. Nobody wants to see people we care about struggle. We just need to take that step and have faith that they love you just as much as you love them.
One of the things people will say when they've had behavior that they know doesn't work for them is they'll say, well, I did it because I could. Are there ways to make it tougher for the individual to walk into that casino, to log onto their phone? What are some things that they could provide as circuit breakers for themselves to just lower the risk when the temptation hits, you know, their credit card isn't connected to the app or whatever?
Right. Yeah, that's one good one, is just putting yourself some perimeters on your utilization on credit. But like I mentioned a little bit earlier, Canadian Mental Health Association in your local province, they do have the stepping stones for self-exclusion. If you find you need yourself a break, maybe you just need a break because you're just not 100% sure if this is your situation getting carried away, or you just need some time to reflect and maybe get your situation back on track, you can put yourself on a 6-month probation where you can attend in the casino, or they'll also support you on the steps of stopping yourself be able to go on any online platform, any kind of poker site or gaming site, betting site, so to speak. The other thing that what people can do is put on limitations on these online sites. If you set yourself some perimeters, $50 in a 24-hour period, once that, you know, if you lost $50, it logs you out of the system and you can't get back in until the next day. So there are some perimeters online that I think the associations under the gambling sites have created. It prevents if you utilize it to the best of its capabilities.
Mike, appreciate your time today. Thank you.
No, Bruce, thank you.
Mike Bergeron is a certified nonprofit credit counselor at Credit Canada, and he's someone who's got a tremendous amount of experience working with clients who are dealing with gambling debt. So Mike mentioned a whole bunch of resources out there. You can also pick up the phone and call one of our counselors. Maybe you'll even get Mike. Coming up next on The Best Of, we're going to talk about debt at the dinner table. Personal finance expert Leslie Ann Scorgi is going to share her tips for having these hard conversations with your family. And a bit about what you can do if someone you love asks you for help when it comes to your debt. If you have missed an episode of Moolala, very simple to go and find that info, that interview. You can go to moolala.ca, and when you're going to pull down the little podcast menu on the top right, and you'll see that you can listen to either full episodes of the whole show, or you can search by segment. And there's a little search window. You can type in the name of the topic or the guest. And if you want to stick on your podcast platform, stay on your podcast platform, you can go to Stitcher, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever it is. And there you can not only download the show, but you can also write a review or subscribe so the next episode will magically just arrive on your device.
You're listening to Moolala, Money Made Simple, with Bruce Ellery on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167.
I am of the view that you can talk about anything. Nothing is off limits. But my opinion hits the stress test when it comes to talking about debt with your family. It can be difficult knowing how to have these conversations with your loved ones and how to support them in a way that works for them and works for you. Leslie Ann Scorgi is personal finance expert, Toronto Star columnist, founder of MeVest. She joins us now to share some of her tips. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. What a huge subject, talking to family about debt or money, anything. It's like the taboo subjects we should always stay away from.
It is.
Money,
but instead,
religion.
You and I just leap right in. We just go to the table and pull up a chair. We just and pull up a chair. So you recently wrote about this topic in your column in the Toronto Star. What do you think makes the topic of debt so fraught with families?
Right now, like it has, I think this subject has elevated because there's so much pressure in the market. We're entering a recession, rates are rising. So if you have debt, that means you are paying more right now. And I think if we go back in time and we look at what is okay to talk about in families, money's never really been there on the subject list, but it's extra fraught right now because there's so much pressure. And let's face it, when you are seeing a family member struggle with debt, it's hard to watch. It's loaded with emotion. And if you're like me, who is like, you know, I have to always watch myself because I'm full of advice, you know, you really have to hold back here and figure out a way to connect with a family member who might be struggling with debt in an appropriate way. Without making yourself and others feel totally horrible about the conversation.
Yes, you say tone is everything. Tone is everything. What do you mean?
So really, at the end of the day, a family member who's struggling with debt, they need to know that debt is a fixable situation. Mm-hmm. What they're really looking for is probably not a bailout. What they probably need is your love, your support, your guidance, maybe even the influence of a positive money mindset. Mm-hmm. That is what will hopefully spark positive financial change for them. So again, like there are professionals who actually do the work around debt. They are the ones who are really responsible for teaching new systems and the, you know, worst cases, putting together, you know, consolidation loans and consumer proposals. But what a family member's role here is support. That's the first most important thing here.
Yeah. A lot of listeners may say, it is none of my business. At what point do you believe it is a family member's business to at least open the door to a conversation?
So I think this is where the conversation happens. Someone is confiding in you about their debt, and then they ask for your help. So confiding is different from asking for help. If they're confiding in you, you may as a family member want to be really explicit with them and say, are you wanting my help? And if they say, no, thanks, back off. It's about respect. But if they give you the all clear, they say, you know what? I think I do need some help. There are ways to start going down that path. And the first starting point is really understanding what they're dealing with. So is it credit card balances? Have collection agencies started to phone? What is going on? And it can be really helpful if they've opened the door to share even personal experiences. You may even share your own financial mistakes to help like establish common ground that they are not alone and that they can move through this.
You mentioned that most family members are not asking for a bailout, but some probably are, and they may not be explicit about it, but that's in the background. What's your wisdom for whether a family member should take that action?
I have to tell you, I've been coaching and counseling people on money matters for like 16 plus years. And to date, I have not seen a totally successful bailout. Mm. And I've seen lots. Mm. And here's what happens is a bailout without dealing with the underlying reasons for how the debt happened in the first place will lead to another one. Mm. It's because when you are looking at equipping somebody who's dealing with debt with better skills, that is that's in the life skill toolbox, and it requires a different strategy, not just a bailout. So it's like, if you want to help and you feel compelled to do the bailout, I have to say, you must pair this with good quality learning for the person who is dealing with the debt. So I'm going to give you an example. Imagine you are a parent, you're watching your child who's an adult, who has their own family struggle, and you want to help. So you offer them the money. Make sure that you also offer them counseling support for debt, and possibly even some, you know, financial coaching or money coaching off to the side, because it's not enough to just bail them out. Statistics, unfortunately, show that doesn't work.
Mm. Now, when we think about any area of life that a family member could be dealing with, addictions, mental health, you know, marital strife, all those sorts of things, we as individuals need to think about how proactive are we going to be? And I appreciate your point off the top that this is something that, you know, they could come to you to talk about. At what point do you go to them and sort of, you know, I'm not talking about necessarily something as specific as a quote intervention, but something in that world where they're not actually a request, I'm not saying they want to talk about it, and you still decide, I'm going there.
I'd say if there is a compromise to health, if there are children involved, and if you're watching basically the train wreck about to happen, and people's lives are going to be impacted, I'd say that's when you step in, especially if there's children involved. Mm. Yeah, you got it. You do have to step in and ask if there is, you know, if you can get the all clear to help out. And, you know, I think it's such a sensitive area, but I want to go back to a point I made just a couple of minutes ago, which is, when you are offering help, it doesn't mean necessarily a bailout. It could be that the family member you're dealing with, like the chances are, is they don't know what to do next. So you could be the bridge to help them understand what could be a next step. So here's an example. Let's say you are watching your family member. They are basically close to bankruptcy. Whether they've confided in you or not, it's clear to you that they're very close to bankruptcy. You could step in and give them the names and numbers of local licensed insolvency trustees. Mm-hmm. And those, you know, if the family member is open to it, they can go ahead, reach out, and maybe begin to explore a consumer proposal. That's the step before bankruptcy. Now, in that scenario, you're basically the bridge to the professional help. And that might feel a lot better for the person receiving the help than you judging or getting in there and trying to tell them what to do. Do you know what I mean?
Nobody likes to be told. I know what you mean. It's an instinct in myself that I need to restrain.
Right. And like another scenario here is you may, maybe you're living really close with that family member down the street. Maybe they're in your house because let's face it, I've seen this scenario many, many times where the debt is so extreme that the person who is indebted has to move back in with the family. Mm-hmm. And in that case, the debt's high, but maybe it's being managed. So that person might benefit from the services of a credit counseling agency.
Yeah.
And that again is like for you to act as a bridge, get the names and numbers of a credit counseling agency and then hand the case off.
Yeah.
So that like you are not actually dealing up the tips yourself.
What is your call to action, Leslie Ann, here? If you're in a family in which you're sneaking suspicion is that there is an issue, what's your call to action? What should people do?
I think kindness, you approach with kindness, whether you are being confided in or you see it and you've got good judgment and you know this is happening, approach carefully, approach with kindness, be that helpful person, but ask where you need, ask the person, like, where should we draw the line here? Like I've said before, like you are unlikely to fix the problem through a bailout or by telling them what to do. The key here is to create a path forward, help get that person moving. And, you know, they will learn techniques like the snowball method of reducing debt. They will learn all of this if you are setting up good boundaries and you know which pros to bring in. Mm-hmm. So just tread lightly and be gentle. Here's the other thing is like the whole family does not want this person to go and splurge, right? Like they want you to be in better financial health. So I think some of this is also family expectations that can be really helpful. My advice here is be loving, be supportive, and watch where you're treading so that you're welcome.
Okay, fine. I'll take that to heart. Leslie Ann, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Bruce.
Leslie Ann Scorgi is a personal finance expert. She is also the founder of MeVest. That's it for this best of episode. We were focused on getting out of debt. We're going to be airing a whole bunch of best of episodes over the course of the next couple weeks. So tune in again. Our sponsor is Credit Canada, first and longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency in the country. So thanks to them. If you would like to reach out to us, you can do that on social media. So at Bruce Celery on Twitter and on Facebook, Bruce Celery Moolala. You can also kick it old school. No, not that old school. We don't have a phone number, but we do have an email address. So that's like very 2004. Our email address is ask@moolala. And to that address, you can send whatever you want. Hello, how are you? Have a nice day. Here's a story idea. Here's a segment I loved. Here's a segment I hated. And also a note that you can subscribe to our newsletter at moolala.ca. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.